Good evening, KUS Youth, parents and friends. So as introduced, my name is Gideon and I'm the speaker for tonight. I'm extremely, extremely privileged and honored to be able to share this message with each and every one of you. So I know that some of you might not know me. I'm quite old. So I'll give a brief introduction of myself. Next slide, please. Next. Yeah, so this is my family. As you can see, I am the tallest. But also, interesting fact, I'm the youngest. So is anyone here the youngest sibling? Can you raise your hands? Yeah, I see you guys. And I think, actually, like, being the youngest is the best thing to be. Yeah, but I'm naturally biased, lah. So as you can see, I have two sisters, one of whom you have seen just now, Gloria, and my other sister, Grace. Yeah, so I'm the youngest, and I'm 22 this year. Next. So yeah, so these are some of my friends. So for me, I was from Ang Mo Kio Secondary School. I don't think many people might have heard of it. I didn't even know it existed until I entered the school itself. So yeah, I was from Ang Mo Kio Secondary School. After that, I went to ACJC. After that, I went to Army. And then now I'm in NUS studying social work. Right, next. Yeah, and so these are also some of the cells that I've been in, So actually, right, I want to make a special attention to the top left one. Left one. So right, that was my first cell. And if you squint really, really closely, right, you'll notice Pastor Peter inside. And when I was looking through, right, I realized, how come this picture of Pastor Peter was bald? Yeah, so fun fact, so Pastor Peter also took my cell for a while. After my secondary school cell, I went to take on a secondary school cell. So you might see some familiar faces like Matthew Chu, Jesse Chua, or even Naomi. Yeah. So after that, I went to a JC cell, the best cell. Yeah. So people like Ian Ng, I see you over there, Abel George. Yeah. So these are people in my JC cell. And now currently, I'm leading another JPI cell. So you might see. You might also recognize a few faces, Fei Fong, very smiling very brightly, Eliza also. So yeah, so these are some of the cells that I've been in church. Next. Yeah, but I think beyond the cells, there have also been people that I've met, and I've had the privilege of being friends. So these are just some of them. And I think as I was preparing for my message, I realized that I was trying to count the number of years that I was in KUS, and I can't believe it, but I've been KUS U for 11 years. I need 3 hands to count. 5, 5, 1. Yeah. So I've been KUS for like 11 years. And I really can't believe it. I remember I was in KUS U since primary 6, I think. And I think at that point of time, if y'all might have seen me, I was very scrawny. I was very small. And I think a lot has changed. Today is also baptism, I realized that this is my 7th year since I've been baptized. So I got baptized when I was 15 years old. And at that point of time, when I got baptized, I got baptized together with my good friend Kenzo. So he's the bald, can you show the slide? Yeah, he's the bald, previously. Not yet. Okay lah, actually you can just stay here. Yeah, so he's the guy in the uniform. But yeah, so when we got baptized together, we decided, it's not enough that we get baptized and to really show that we were in a covenantal relationship and that we were a new creation in Christ, we had to do something even more drastic. Yeah, so for me and him, we decided to shave our hair a mullet. So for people who might not know what a mullet is, so it's like my current hairstyle, but just a bit less hair and more pointy. So that's the gist of a mullet lah. And at a point of time when I wanted to cut my hair to show my commitment, I had to ask my mom for permission. So what happened was that when I asked her, she was like, no! She was adamant against it, I tell you. And let me tell you why. So next slide, please. Yeah, so if you look at my hair, it looks like a helmet. You know, if it's like that bowl shape and it covers your head perfectly. And at a point of time when I asked my mom for permission, she was like, no, you know, it protects your head. So she was very adamant that, you know, I cannot cut my hair, what are you doing? But I really persisted and I really asked her, you know, for permission. And eventually she relented. Yeah, and so me and Kenzo finally managed to cut our hair and mullet the day before, I think a few days before baptism. So now disclaimer, baptism candidates, whoever you guys are, I'm not saying that you need to cut your hair to show your commitment to God. Do not worry, okay? But for me, cutting my hair was just really a way of showing my commitment. Because for me, I experienced, I had seen for myself the nature of who, the God that I was following. And for me, I was so convicted that I wanted to show my commitment in such a way. So today I'll be talking a bit more on God's wholehearted nature towards us in a covenantal relationship and how we can then respond. So first of all, let me explain what a covenantal relationship is. So a covenant refers to two or more parties bound together, bound by certain promises or commitments. One example of a covenantal relationship, which perhaps is more well known, is that of a marriage. How is a marriage a covenantal relationship, you might ask? So the marriage vow contains the commitments, for example, for the bride and groom, to have and to hold, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death do them part. So that is an example of a marriage vow, right? In this example, there are certain commitments that both parties make to one another. And a covenantal relationship with God is no different, containing promises and commitments from God. Now, these promises and commitments, when you examine them, when you examine these commitments and promises, they reveal the nature and the character of the parties involved, the thoughts that they have towards one another. So, for example, when you examine the marriage vows again, one example is, with my body I honor you, with all that I am I give to you, and all that I have I share with you. This vow reveals the intimacy between man and wife. So likewise, when we examine God's covenants and promises, we can catch a glimpse of his nature, his character, who he really is, and how he views us. And when I was examining the covenant, when I examined the covenant, it showed to me God's wholehearted nature towards us. And I think today I would like to examine God's covenant with Abraham. And from there we can see God's wholeheartedness in two ways. First, his pursuit of Abraham. And second, in his giving to Abraham. So the first time God makes a promise with Abraham comes from Genesis 12, verse 1 to 3. So I'll read it out. In Genesis 12, verse 1 to 3. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So notice that God was the one who first initiated the pursuit of Abraham. Now, what did Abraham actually do to cause God to want to pursue a covenant with him? Nothing. Okay? Abraham did absolutely nothing. So, unlike before, when you examine perhaps the story of Noah, what happened was that God had found Noah righteous, and therefore God chose him to do his work. But there was nothing mentioned about Abraham himself. God first initiated the pursuit of Abraham without Abraham having done anything for him. Now, there are times perhaps we feel like in our daily life where we are the ones who have to initiate. Perhaps in our relationships, be it in family or friends, we are the ones who have to pursue, we are the ones who have to chase after the other person. Just to share a story, I think for myself, as I mentioned before, I was from Ang Mo Kio Secondary School. And when I went to ACJC, what happened was that I was one of only two people from my school to get into ACJC. And the second person actually left 3 days after she first got in. So actually I was the only person there from my old school. And what happened was that I found it really hard, being the only person. I had no one to really talk to, I had no one who I could connect to immediately. So I had to really pursue people to be my friends. And that made me, yeah, I think JC was a very lonely period for me, and for me, I realized the hardship of what it meant for someone to have to initiate consistently and to pursue another person. And in this relationship, in this covenantal relationship with God, He was the one who first initiated the pursuit of you, without you having to do anything for Him. Now, not only did He take the initiative, but God has been faithful in His pursuit of men over the course of time. His pursuit of us did not stop despite our wrongdoings and our failings. From the beginning, when after Adam and Eve disobeyed God, God was the one who called out to them. In Genesis 3, verse 8 to 9, it reads, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' He called for them. He pursued them despite knowing that they had done something wrong. He pursued them despite their wrongdoings and their failings." Now, likewise, in Abraham's life, there were a few times actually where he disobeyed God. And one of the instances where he disobeyed God can be seen in Genesis 15 verse 3 to 5. So in Genesis 15 verse 3 to 5 it reads, "Then Abraham said, 'Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, "This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir." Then he brought him outside and said, "Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them." And he said to them, "So shall descendants be." Now in this chapter, God promises Abraham numerous offspring and the promise of an heir, that someone from his household will be the one who inherits. And at that point of time, yeah, Abraham had no offspring, no son. Yet in Genesis, and this was God's promise to him, yet in Genesis 16 verse 1 to 4, Abraham tries to have a child with Hagar, one of the slaves under Abraham's household. This was going against what God had planned for him, that his offspring would come through his wife Sarai. You know, despite this disobedience and despite the fact that Abraham went against what God had promised him and what God had planned for him, God was faithful to his promise to Abraham. And he renewed his covenant to Abraham in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1 to 8. God even changed Abraham's name, Abraham, which meant exalted father, to Abraham, which now means father of many. I think one of the times which is most telling of a relationship is when one party wrongs another. You know, in that situation, one party, the person who is wrong, has two choices. You know, to either hold it against the other person or to forgive. Yet, in that circumstance where you have a choice to either forgive or to hold it in, and it's perfectly justifiable for one to just say, "Hey, this person wronged me," and it's justifiable for you to hold it against them, God instead chose the latter. God chose instead to forgive. God chose to turn his face towards us. And with Abraham, God remained faithful and renewed his covenant with him. Perhaps for some of us, we view a relationship with God as one that is strict and rigid. You know, once you make a mistake, there's no turning back. You know, once you make a mistake, you are cut off. And I would like to share a story of mine. I think as I mentioned just now, I had the privilege of being the leader for a secondary school cell, and at that point of time I was 17 years old. When I started to serve, what happened was that, you know, I thought that I had served, you know, wanting to serve other people. I wanted to, you know, help other people in their walk with God. And that was what I thought I had signed up, what I joined to do. But little did I know that, you know, deep within my heart, the position of a leader was one which, you know, I sought for myself as a means to add value to myself. You know, the position of a leader was one which I craved because, you know, it told me of what I was worth. It told me of my value. And I think when I realized my desires, I felt really guilty and totally undeserving of God. I had I tried to glorify myself when why I should have been, when instead of glorifying God. I remember when I felt so down and so totally unworthy of God's love, God spoke to me, reminded me of His value, reminded me of my value as His son first of all. When I thought I wasn't deserving, God came and reinforced my sonship to Him. I realized I had messed up big time. And perhaps for some of us it's the same. God is willing to forgive and to restore. God's wholehearted pursuit of man is not just for those who are holy or seem to be doing well, but His pursuit is for everyone, regardless of whatever actions we might have taken. Every pursuit is uncertain, and we can take many actions to pursue another person. But at the end of the day, how they choose to respond is totally out of our control. We cannot force the other person to respond in a way that we would like. And it's the same with God's pursuit of us. Despite the uncertainty and even the knowledge that not all of us would reciprocate, God still chose to initiate, to remain faithful to us. When you talk of wholeheartedness, God displayed it when He took initiative to form the covenant and to remain faithful to it. The second way God's wholeheartedness can be seen is in the manner in which He gives Himself to men. Now, many years after, Abraham finally had his promised son when he was 100 years old, in Genesis 21. Finally, after many years, Abraham had his successor, Isaac. However, in Genesis 22, verse 1 to 2, it reads, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.'" God says to Abraham to take his son Isaac, his only son whom he loves so much. This was his promised heir after how many years? As a burnt sacrifice. Surely there must have been much turmoil within Abraham as he heard God's instruction. But unlike himself in his younger days, this time Abraham obeys. During the journey up the mountain, Abraham might have questioned himself even more, with Isaac asking questions about the sacrifice. Yet he persisted, and they went up the mountain. Finally, just when Abraham is about to sacrifice Isaac, God calls out to him in verse 9 to 13. Genesis 22, 9 to 13 reads, "Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' So he said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now, I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.' Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son." God gives of himself and provides a sacrifice in place of Isaac. In his wholeheartedness, God, towards us, God gives of himself. Now at this point of time, you might be thinking, it's not really a fair, it's not really equivalent, How can a ram equate to a human life? How can a ram equate to Isaac? But I'd like to suggest to you that this is just a glimpse, a minute glimpse of God's willingness and his wholehearted towards us when he gives to us. You see, thousands of years later, men continued in their sinful ways. They continued to do wrong against God, and the consequence of which was death, separation from God. Yet God desired our restoration and reconciliation with him. John 3:16 writes, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." God was willing to give his one and only Son, whom he loved, Jesus, up. Unlike Abraham, God was willing. God was willing to do what? God was willing to do what he didn't even ask Abraham to do, which was to sacrifice, that he sent Jesus down, you know, for us. God gave way more than what he ever asked men to do. Even extending that, God gave more than men possibly could. So not only did God give more than he ever asked men to do, he gave more than men ever possibly could. Jesus died for you and I, people who he had never met. You know, I love my siblings. You know, and if you ask them, you know, they'll tell stories of, you know, the things that I do for them, you know. There are times where they come home late at night and then I'll open the door for them. I think there was once where it was a New Year's Day and I let my sister wax my legs just because she asked. You know, that's the extent of my love for them. But if a stranger, if a perfectly unknown person to me asked me the same thing, I doubt I'll do the same thing, let alone lay down my life. Yet, Jesus did what most of us, you know, could never do. Jesus gave himself up for people like you and I, people he had never met, and people who he knew that some of us would reject him. In his wholeheartedness, God gave of himself. He sacrificed more than that he could ever ask, that he will ever ask men to do. He gave his only Son, Jesus, which he did not ask Abraham to do. And he gave for people who did not know him or even reject him. And in doing so, he gave more than we could possibly do. Any relationship is not one-sided, but it's two-sided. Likewise, in a covenantal relationship, a response to God is required. To a God that has been entirely wholehearted to us from the beginning, how then can we respond? How else can we respond? I'd like to suggest that the only way we can respond is to respond in kind, to be wholehearted towards him. Now, we can never measure up. We can never measure up to his wholehearted towards us. Never. We cannot compete with him. But perhaps we can make a choice to grow in it, to grow in this wholeheartedness towards him. Being wholehearted is not just a feeling, but a state of your heart that you choose to bring your entire heart in this relationship for him to be the number one in your heart. There are many things that compete for our hearts, many things which compete to be the number one, you know, things that vie, not just for our time, but to be the main focus of our lives. Perhaps it's relationships, such as friends or BGR, or grades and CCA, or even hobbies. When I was younger, I used to really game a lot, you know, and there were times where I game from afternoon, like maybe 3 p.m. until the next morning, 4 a.m. You know, that was the intensity for me, and that was, for me, gaming was where I found my refuge amidst the stresses I had, be it at home, in school, and church. It provided me a sense of stability, and it became the focus of my life. That gaming hobby competed with God to be the object of my attention and affection. I invested so much of my time and of my energy and my feelings into gaming. Perhaps for some of you, maybe it's not your hobbies, but perhaps it's things like studies and your CCA. Perhaps for you guys, you know, grades are the things which, you know, helps you to see who you are. You know, maybe grades are the things which define who you are, that tell you how you're worth. Or perhaps it's in CCA, you know, whether you're good in a sport or whatever. Or maybe it's the number of friends that you have. But I'd like to suggest to you that these are things which are temporal and fluctuate. being in a covenantal relationship with God, in light of his wholeheartedness, there's a security. When you commit to God and choose, let him be the number one in your life, in your hearts, you are choosing a person who is eternally and consistently good. Worship team, you can come up. Church, I would like to invite us to bow our heads and close our eyes. Now, being wholehearted is not just a single decision. It's not a single decision made, but encapsulates a journey. A continuous journey of us growing in the knowledge. Not just in our heads, but in our hearts. Of God's nature as a wholehearted person. We can only be wholehearted to God when we realize his wholeheartedness towards us. And perhaps for some of us, we do know in our heads, but not in our hearts, to have that conviction in our hearts of who he really is. And God's desire tonight is to reveal himself to each and every one of us. God's desire is his longing and his passion for to just reveal himself to each and every one of us is so strong. We can never imagine the desire he has to show himself to all of us. And this is a journey. This journey of wholeheartedness is not one which we cannot do it by ourselves, but he is willing to help. And sometimes in this journey of wholeheartedness, growing, all we need to do is ask. Tonight, with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, I'd like to invite for those who are, maybe for some of you, you desire to grow in the knowledge of God's wholeheartedness. The full extent of his wholeheartedness, which cannot be measured. My words don't give justice to his wholeheartedness. Tonight, if your desire is to grow in that knowledge of God's wholeheartedness, not just for today, not just for this week, but perhaps for your life, if your desire is to grow in that wholeheartedness, tonight, I invite you to raise your hand, you know, with all eyes closed and all heads bowed. You know, I just want to bless, if that's your heart's desire, I just want to bless you. I want to bless you so that you will be able to see the fullness of his wholehearted nature and that his grace will help you along with this journey. So if that's you, I invite you to, during this time, I just invite you to raise your hand. Thank you. I see those hands. I'm just going to give a bit more time. If that's you, today, there's your heart, there's your desire. You know, desires don't necessarily start with a feeling, but it starts with a choice. If that's you, I invite you to raise your hand so that I can bless you. You can put your hands down. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for your wholehearted nature towards us, Lord. It's not by any smidgen of whatever we have first done for you. We did not prove our worthiness to you. We did not prove that we were worthy of your wholehearted nature to us. We were not worthy, Lord. But yet you chose, Lord, to remain faithful to us. You chose to initiate, God. You chose to give ever so much, more than we could possibly do. God, I just want to thank you, Lord, for your wholehearted nature, Lord, towards each and every one of us, Lord. God, I just pray, Lord, for my brothers and sisters here, Lord, for those who desire, Lord, that God, you show an even deeper measure, Lord, that even as you are so willing, Lord, to show yourself to each and every one of us, Lord, that you will encounter them, Lord. You will give them a deeper revelation of who you are beyond what they could ever possibly imagine, Lord. And God, this is a journey, Lord, that we cannot possibly do without you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that will you give us the grace, Lord, to follow you, to walk each step of the day. God, even as it wasn't easy for you to be wholehearted towards us, Lord, God, will you help us, give us the grace, Lord, to remain wholehearted to you, Lord. So God, I just commit all of us to your hands, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
No, church, our love for God can sometimes go hot, go cold, but we know that God's love for us doesn't change. And at the end of the day, how do we really remember it's through God's word? Right, so before you go, I just want to leave you with one simple verse. In 1 John 4:19, it says, "We love because He first loved us." Well, it's not always easy to keep the fire, but we know that God's faithfulness, the what He didn't share with us, God's wholeheartedness and faithfulness is always there. Amen? Right, it really doesn't matter whether you are a young Christian or someone who has heard this many, many times. Or in fact, if you have never even given your life to Jesus before, we believe we are all on this journey. Why? It's because God is pursuing you, He's pursuing me. So, lucky or not, we are all on this journey. He's inviting us to come to know Him. Right, therefore, after I close this service, if you wish, that there will be someone who can be there to pray with you. Even if you have never given your life to Jesus before, but you feel that you want someone just to pray for you, you can feel free to do so, alright? Or if you're new here, you can always ask your friend to bring you here. Right, but let me just close by blessing you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we want to thank you for we know through your word that you have always loved us and that has never changed. And so tonight, even as Gideon has reminded us of how wholeheartedly you have pursued us, we pray that even in the worst moments of our lives where we feel that you are silent, where we feel that you are far away, where we feel that even you are not real, would you allow your word just to sink deep within our hearts, to bring us back to this place of knowing how much you love us and to finding that to be the strength that will allow us to pursue you in return as much as we can, Lord, to be wholehearted for you, God, because we know this is truly what you desire, for us to love you and to continue to experience your love. And all God's children say, amen, amen. Why don't you just help me to just affirm Gideon? I think he really spoke well, right? Okay, so for the baptism candidates, after the service, please no rush off. We also have a dinner prepared for you. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruise.org.sg. God bless.